This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Mark Thompson. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
I'm loving it. I'm loving the fine weather in Gisborne at last.
Exactly.
We've been in New Zealand now for 4 weeks. This is the first, well, one of the first days it's been proper warm.
It's, yes, you have arrived at possibly the worst time we've had technically in Gisborne since the 28th of December, close to 500 mils of rain.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it?
It's a heck of a lot.
I know. Bordeaux gets, what, 600 in a year?
Yeah.
So you're
up there.
Yeah, and you're not even anywhere near the end of the season yet. We're recording this, it's just the end of January. Right, so what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk a wee bit about Gisborne. Your role here is you are the chairman of the local wine growers and viticulturists.
Yep. Chairman of Gisborne Wine Growers. I'm also the head winemaker for Gisvin, which is a contract winemaking facility, as well as heading up a reasonably small or reasonably large growers cooperative called GrowCo.
Right. Okay. So you've got your finger on the pulse, yeah?
Yes. So a lot of fingers on a lot of pulses.
Right. So what we're going to do is, I think what we're going to start off with is we're going to talk a wee bit about Gisborne from a business point of view, because I think that's the thing that you can really shine a light on that we haven't been able to cover so far. And before we get into that, let's talk a wee bit about just the size of Gisborne. How many growers are there in Gisborne?
So growers-wise, there's probably less than 50. We have 1,260 hectares of producing grapes, around about 50 growers. So they range in size from 10 hectares up to probably 300-400 hectares.
Okay, 300-400 is a decent size vineyard. Yep. 10 hectares, small, but not by UK standards, but pretty small, boutique-y, isn't it?
It is quite boutique-y. It's, I wouldn't say a lifestyle vineyards, but definitely one-man band size of vineyards, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Do you know when Gisborne was first planted up?
Being new to the area here, no, but it was one of the first areas to be planted in grapes. I think the 1920s might have been. It's been one of those areas that has always produced a lot of good quality Chardonnay, especially. At one stage, Gisborne was called the Chardonnay capital of New Zealand. I struggle with that these days because we've actually got almost a 50-50 split between Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc.
In the region? Numbers I saw Chardonnay, but Sauvignon Blanc number two.
The latest ones that I've just pulled off our New Zealand Wines website is Sauvignon Blanc 39%, Chardonnay 37%, Pinot Gris 20%, Albarino 2%, and others 2%.
Okay, all right, we'll come back to the Albarino later on.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I haven't tried a lot of Sauvignon Blancs from Gisborne. I've tried over the years a reasonable number of Chardonnays, and I've always thought the Chardonnays were very good from here.
I think they've got that lovely generosity of fruit that you don't get in some other regions. Hawke's Bay, I think, also produces a very fruit forward, but the original Kim Crawford unoaked Chardonnay that was really helped put Kim on the map himself, that was all sourced from Gisborne growers. And in fact, Kim is still dealing with those same growers.
Kim Crawford's quite a famous winemaker. I thought he sold out. And
he did. But he's now a consultant winemaker, and he's got another side hustle as well.
Okay. So when you say Kim Crawford, are you talking about bought out by Accolade, didn't it?
Yeah, got bought out by Accolade. So the label is now owned by Accolade. Yeah, Kim sold his label, which happened to have his name on it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Consumption. How much Gisborne wine is consumed in New Zealand or exported? Do you know? Any ideas?
I don't know the exact makeup of that, but New Zealand as a whole would export probably 85% of its wine, and I wouldn't think that would be any different with Gisborne.
Okay.
The majority of our wine would be exported as opposed to being kept for domestic.
One of the things you guys do at Gisborne is that you do bulk shipping of wine, though. And I always thought New Zealand was all bottle, because it's all reasonably premium wines.
Mm.
However, I was quite surprised. I saw some stats that put New Zealand as one of the bigger bulk shippers of wine, and New Zealand's a pretty small place.
Exactly. It's almost a 50-50 split between the two, between bottled wine and bulk wine. New Zealand wide, yep. That's not just Gisborne, that's New Zealand wide. That also gives us the opportunity not so much to have the reality of sending wine in bulk overseas is economies of scale. So a container of bottled wine, you can fit about 6,000 litres into 6,000 to 7,000 litres into a container. That same container, when it's full of bulk wine, for the same cost, you can send 24,000 litres overseas.
Mm.
So it's nothing about the quality. The quality is still there. It's the fact that instead of it being bottled at source, if you like, it's able to be moved and transported and being able to be packaged where it's going to be sold.
Is that places like Brancott, who are obviously the old Marlborough?
But, yep. They
will produce a lot of wine and ship it. I presume they're transporting in bulk and then bottling.
Yeah.
Under their own branding?
Under their own branding, yeah.
Yeah, because quite often you think about bulk wine, I think of it being bulk wine and then branded under a supermarket label or some made-up critter.
Yeah, there is a lot of the big wineries will do this just simply for economies of scale.
Okay, so it's not bulk wine for made up brands, it's bulk wine for brands, it's just the economies of scale.
And yes, there is definitely a bulk wine component in there that is going across to supermarket owned brand sounds a little bit cheap.
Some of them can be all right.
Yeah, some of them are very, very nice.
In fact, what I do sometimes is when the supermarkets in the UK do their 25% off, I just go in and buy own label Tesco's Finest or whatever, and you can, you know, because you can buy them if they've got a gold medal or a silver medal, you can look them up on the big wine competitions and you can just explore. And they're cheap and they're fun and they normally taste pretty good as well. So
After doing exactly the same thing as you have in Tesco's or in Marks and Spencer's, I haven't had a bad one.
Yeah. Oh, I've had bad ones, but not if I look them up first. How much bulk wine is coming out of Gisborne? Because you guys do bulk wine, is it?
We do bulk wine, yes.
And there's not, the only brand that I was aware of or producer in Gisborne was Milton. And sadly, I've arrived a week late because they just grubbed up.
They have just grubbed up, unfortunately. Annie is retiring. There are Gisborne brands locally, as in there are brands, obviously you've spoken to Kirsten at Mataferro, who would be one of the biggest proponents of Gisborne herself. You've also got other wineries around the place. You've got Bushmere Estate, you've got Wright's. These are small boutique wineries that you wouldn't necessarily see anywhere else. However, a lot of fruit that is sourced from here also goes into labels that are Gisborne focused. One that really jumps to mind is Left Fields Albarino, that is made by Villa Maria, I recall, or Indovin. That's available in English supermarkets, and that comes solely from Gisborne, from Albarino.
Is Indovin owns Villa Maria, didn't they?
Yes.
They bought them out about 3 years ago,
yep,
is that correct?
Right. Yeah.
And is Indovin or Villa Maria big in Gisborne? Are they one of the big?
They're the biggest winery here.
They are. Are they is Villa Maria or are they as Indovin?
They are both.
Okay.
They make wine for Indovin, and from that they also portion off. Don't quote me on this because I don't know exactly how it works, but they've got winemakers that work for Indovin and winemakers that work within Indovin for Villa Maria.
All right. No, that's cool. That's cool. Let's talk a wee bit about Gisborne, which is where you work and you're the head winemaker there. I understand there's Indovin, there's Gisborne, and there's another contract grower, winemaker.
Yep, there's another one called Solander or the Gisborne Wine Company.
Yeah, or is it the same thing, Solander or the Gisborne?
Yeah, the same thing. We're the middle child, if you like. Indovin is definitely the largest. Then there's ourselves, Gisborne, and then Solander or the Gisborne Wine Company. And they do contract winemaking for some of the boutique labels.
Yeah. How many of the producers have their own winemaking facilities?
Not a lot.
It's different about Gisborne.
It's very different about Gisborne. It's because the bulk not so much the bulk, but the growers have, the growers that are here in Gisborne, most of them haven't pertained to making their own wine and selling their own wine. They've been quite happy to grow a crop of grapes and sell it to a wine company who will then make wine and do what they will with it. So very few, in the current climate, there are very few growers or growers of grapes that have also become winemakers and set up all of the, you know, set up shop themselves.
Okay, yeah, that is unusual. Mm. And I mean, but you look around here and Gisborne looks, and I've seen people describe it as a fruit bowl.
Yep.
So there's grapes, you can see grapes around, but there's lots of kiwi fruit. There's lots of plums. I've heard there's cherries, haven't seen them yet, if there had been.
There are a few cherry trees around, but yeah, it's not a commercial crop here.
Yeah, and citrus.
And a lot of citrus. And subtropical things like tamarillos. There's small gardens with bananas in there. So they'll grow bananas just. It's right at the outside.
Extreme edge.
Extreme
of it.
Yeah. Passion fruit, those sort of things, they all grow very, very, very well here.
Indevin, obviously, Villa Maria, they clearly have their own winemaking facilities. Who else has their own winemaking facilities on site? Do you know other producers, or is it really and just...
We're talking Gisborne now. It's
yeah.
Very... Wrights would be one of the few wineries that have their winemaking facilities on site.
Who? Wrights?
Wrights. So that's the only other organic producer in Gisborne.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right. Okay. So, and did Milton have their own facilities?
Yes, they had their own facilities.
So what
they
do, just sell off everything?
They are in the process of selling everything, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So we're getting a feel for it, for Gisborne. I was talking to Kirsten at Mataferro earlier, and I tasted some of her wines. I've been trying to understand the climate in Gisborne because things just don't add up to me a little bit. In that it seemed that Hawke's Bay appears to be warmer, perhaps, than Gisborne. Because if you look at the grape varieties they're growing in Hawke's Bay, they're ripening Malbec pretty reliably, Syrah, Cab Sav. Here, I tried Kirsten's Merlot, and it tastes all right. It tastes but it tastes cooler than a Bordeaux Merlot, if you like.
Yeah.
And so it when I'm thinking about things, I'm thinking of, you know, Loire is cool climate and definitely cooler than Gisborne.
Mm.
And Bordeaux is warmer and definitely warmer than Gisborne. So Gisborne seems to be getting somewhere between
the two.
Yeah.
We don't have a long ripening period. So traditionally, what would normally happen is that the fruit would start picking mid to late February, all the way through March and then into April. And normally in April it would start to rain and wouldn't stop. So your red varieties, very, very hard to ripen them successfully.
Is that because of the rain?
That's because of the rain.
Your season's curtailed by weather.
Basically being shortened. We've had 2023 where we had the cyclone here. We had fruit hanging out right the way through to the end of April. It was beautiful weather. But then we'd also had 800 mils of rain over a three-day period. So as one of the growers said, he said, I don't believe there's any rain left in the sky. So that's the main reason. The Hawke's Bay traditionally, and as I think I said before off camera or off air, I'm originally from Hawke's Bay, and they traditionally would have a long, slow, what they called an Indian summer, so that it would keep on ripening and no rain or anything right the way through till April and sometimes May. Gisborne traditionally has a much shorter growing period where it starts to rain, and that's it. You know, you can't. So saying, we've got some tiny little pockets of grapes around the region. I've got some Montepulciano and some Sangiovese, tiny, tiny, you know, three or four rows that people make a barrel of red out of, and it's lovely, really, really nice.
Mm. Okay. One of the wines I've actually got a little glass of it in front of me is Albarino.
Yes.
Or Alvarino if you're Portuguese or whatever you want to call it. And it tastes pretty good. I mean, it tastes better than a lot of Albarinos from Spain.
Yeah.
I was quite impressed with it. It doesn't, I mean, I've always struggled with Albarino's flavor profiles. And to me, it smells a little bit more like a Kruner Veltliner, but with a lot richer in the mouth, a lot richer than you get with Albarino, and certainly Kruner Veltliner as well, which can be a little bit piercing.
A little bit lineal, yeah. I think what you're probably picking up on is the fact that with myself coming from other regions, as a winemaker coming into Gisborne, the first thing that I've noticed is a genuine richness and ripeness of the fruit. Put that down to two things. One is that we've got most of the grapes are growing on an alluvial floodplain. So we've got deep clay soils, lots of silt. That produces a very ripe style of fruit. The other thing, and this makes us, as far as I'm aware, unique in New Zealand, we do not irrigate. So every other region in New Zealand and, you know, most parts of the world will irrigate their grapes to, you know, stop them from drying out. But we have these beautiful, deep, loamy soils that the water table is there for the taking. So we don't have to irrigate. And that, I think, gives us a quite a high dry extract rate in the grapes, which really means nothing apart from a chemical analysis. But I think what it boils down to is it does show a lot of ripe or riper fruit characters because there's no dilution, if you like, from the irrigation.
Is it riper or richer?
Yeah.
Richer, I think.
The flavour profiles aren't particularly ripe.
No.
But the wines have a richness to them and a generosity that I think. A couple of people use the word riper, but I don't know about that. I mean, I think richer sounds a much better word for it. All right, then. I think we're going to wrap it up there, Mark.
Yep.
That sounds good.
Thank you very much.
Okay.